at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Go with me to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 1. We've been dealing with words to an extent, and this morning we'll continue to deal with words. You know, there's a little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, sometimes words from other people, if you allow them to, will offend you. They can hurt you. Proverbs says, there are those that speak as the piercing of a sword. Yeah, they can cut you with words, sharp words, evil words. But it cannot compare to what your own words are capable of. Your own words can bless you more than someone speaking praise over you. And your own words can snare you or harm you worse than someone else trying to harm you with words. So it's very important that we get a handle on our words. I love Ephesians 4:29 that says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, corrupt communications, Paul says, evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, that has to do with what begins to govern your life. When communications are evil or corrupt, certain things enter into your life through the avenue of your words. And some things that you begin to struggle with, you shouldn't have to struggle with, but you are struggling with because of things that you have said. Amen. Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All these have a connectedness. As a man thinketh, so is he. You know, all of these things are connected. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds. You know, someone that says one thing and does another is a hypocrite. Amen. Amen. You only are what you ultimately think. Amen. Now, you can have a thought that, you know, you're this great person. You know, you might have a thought, and that might even be God's destiny or purpose for you. But the way you think can be on a whole nother level. And you'll never attain to that till you begin to think like that. Amen. That's why it's important for us to receive the word. Yeah. Receive God's word so that our thoughts become his thoughts. Amen. Or his thoughts, let me say, become our thoughts. And we take the sword of the spirit, which is his word. Not a literal sword, but the sword that comes out of our mouth. Yeah. Speaking the word. Jesus' success as a man came from the fact that he spoke only what his father said. The devil couldn't touch him. The devil couldn't get a handle on him. And he only died when his time came. And he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down that I may pick it up again. Amen? So it's very, very important how we talk. Listen, I'm not bound by words, but I want to discipline my words. Don't perceive it as being a bondage. But there, you know, just naturally, you know, a person with a good upbringing, you know, may not even know the Lord, but there's just certain things they don't say. Because they were brought up right. You know, we were going somewhere, I forget where we were, and there were two little girls that were in front of us. We're going in the store. And their mom or their grandmother was walking ahead of them. And, you know, two little girls, and one of them said a cuss word. I don't know exactly what it was. And they just went to giggling and laughing. Mother didn't say a word. And I got to thinking, you know, and they thought it was kind of, I guess they thought it was kind of cute. You remember that? And they just fast, you know, stepped it on up. They looked back at us like it was no big deal. You know, but certain things, if you don't know, or if you've not been brought up right, or if you're not governed, amen, you know, the Lord even says this in the book of James chapter 3. He says, The tongue is like the helm of a ship. If you've ever been at the helm on a ship, I've been on some fairly large ships where the helm is, and you know, it's a little, matter of fact, we had to steer about 150 foot boat that would travel into the Caribbean. It was a fairly large boat with 30 crew. But the interesting thing is that helm and the rudder, of course, governed the ship. You know, oftentimes in storms, they would put the helm on automatic pilot. And you know, the helm would spin, but it would stay on course because the helm is what controlled the boat. Sometimes life gets way off course because you don't have the helm on automatic pilot. And you're going through a storm and you just letting the ship go wherever it want to go. It's about to turn over and be flooded and sink, and you know, because you don't have it on autopilot. See, it was in storms. I remember some storms we were on smaller vessels, and we had a captain that was from France. This guy was an amazing captain, but we went through one storm where everybody had to just lay down on the deck or in the cabin, just lay down on the floor. That's how bad the ship was being tossed, even the captain. And for him to have to do that and set it on autopilot, you know, we were going through a storm. But guess what? When the storm finished, we were still on course. We got slowed down, but we were still on course. See, when we looked at last week how Moses, when he came down from the mountain with the tablets of stone with God's handwriting on it, the word of God was on it, Moses got so infuriated with the conduct of the people that he threw the tablets down and broke them at the foot of the mountain, or as the scripture in the King James says, at beneath the mountain. Sometimes when we're beneath a mountain of cares or challenges, don't be like Moses. He got so engrossed with what was going on and became reactionary that, now think about it, God wrote this stuff himself. Now you think if God wrote it, it was about to fall off, that you'd be going to grab it no matter what. God wrote this. But he got so provoked by what the enemy was doing that he broke them. Then he had to hew out stones and go back up to the mountain, and God had rewrote them for him. But we must keep our testimony in time of challenge, in times of struggle. There's a great deal of prophetic substance in our testimony, because we're not testifying anything outside of God's word. What's in God's word is not only who we are, but that contains what God has for our life. Our destiny is in the word. Amen. So the word needs to be in our mouth. In Ezra chapter 1, and what I want to talk to you about today is the decree of destiny. In Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea." Now, verse 1, it clearly states that it says, in the first year of King Cyrus, the king of Persia, look at what God says, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Hold on to that phrase right there. That the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Remember our study on the sword, the two-edged sword. Paul's analogy was a Roman soldier, and the name of the type of sword that they used during that time was a Machaira. A small sword, but a deadly weapon. And Paul described it. And that's why he used that analogy as having the armor of God. But the Machaira was two-edged. In all societies and all cultures, there weren't two-edged swords. But it was two-edged. And now, it's important that we carry a two-edged sword. You know, if you studied, if you went back and looked up and studied swords and weaponry and all that, you'll find that in many, many cultures there was swords with just one side that was sharp. But he talks about a two-edged sword. And they were very deadly weapons. But it says here, and I just want to point this concept out. It says that the word of the Lord, okay, now the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Okay, we're looking at something that's been spoken twice. All right, it's been spoken twice. The word of the Lord, in other words, God spoke his word. He sent his word. But he says, by the mouth of Jeremiah. In other words, this word is going to be spoken again. And when it's spoken again, now I'm going to fulfill it. Right? So that's the two edges. So that's two edges. God spoke it. And see, that's why it's so important for us to, like the helm of a ship, even in storms, to lock in on a course and not just go anywhere. It doesn't matter how bad or how difficult a situation looks. What does the word say about it? What has God given you as a promise? See, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. See, sometimes things aren't fulfilled because Jeremiah's not saying it. Come on, Jeremiah. See, God has said it. God has spoken it over you. It's your destiny. It belongs to you. It's who you are. But have you said it? See, we're in an image. Being born again, we are redeemed. We are in an image and likeness of God. We are a new creation. But how much of that proceeds out of your mouth? How much of your boast is really in the Lord? See, God is looking for stuff that he can fulfill in the earth that comes through man. Just wanted to point that concept. The word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. And so what happens? When Jeremiah speaks it, God begins to stir up some stuff. Come on, he stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. Come on, when you stop talking, let me say it, po' mouth. When you stop talking negative, when you stop allowing corrupt communication to come out of your mouth, and you start speaking your future, you start speaking the word of God, what God says about you. Like we just said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Why are you all worried about tomorrow and what you're going to face this week on the job? If God is for you, who can be against you? An indication that you are trusting that is that you have peace. Come on, it's an indication that you have peace. There's peace in your mind. You're not worried about it. You're not troubled about how this is going to work tomorrow. No, God is sovereign. Amen. He's in control of tomorrow. So when Jeremiah spoke it out, it was released. If Jeremiah didn't speak it, somebody was going to speak it. God was going to find him a vessel. When Jeremiah spoke it out, God began to stir up the spirit of Cyrus. See, it had been written years, 150 years before, about Cyrus. God had already spoken it in his word, but someone had to speak it out. Are you with me? Amen. Very, very important. So God began to stir.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 6 of Transformation, the Decree of Destiny. Genesis 22 and 17 states, God told Abraham, I will surely bless you and make you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And he made good on that promise. He will do the same for you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS. Or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.